Good morning, and welcome to Sunday Worship with the Memorial Church of Harvard University.
Thank you. Out of the depths, we cry to you, O God. God, hear our voice.
Let your ears be attentive to the voice of our supplications.
If you should mark iniquities, O God, who of us could stand?
But there is forgiveness with you, and plenteous redemption.
I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in God's word I hope.
My soul waits for the Lord, more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning.
Come, let us set out in the light of the Lord.
Friends, it was 1 year ago this week that we had to close our beloved church, and we were not sure when we would return. Few, if any of us, could have imagined that still today we would be broadcasting our services. We have imagined new ways of being community and have tried supporting one another, even if we've had to be physically distant. After the year we have had, how can we not be impatient? Chomping at the bit to return to the way life was before the pandemic. And yet, our God who has been with us reminds us to think of how this time can be used to transform us into the people that we are meant to be. Let us open ourselves to the one who overflows with love for us as we confess our impatience to God, saying, Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sin and whose mercy we forget, cleanse us from all offenses and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that humbly we may draw near to thee, confessing our faults, confiding in thy grace, and finding in thee our refuge and our strength, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, let God's love and mercy wash over you, as the spring rains wash over the earth, bringing the promise of new life and hope. You are blessed because God's image resides deep within each of you. So return God's blessing by the way you love others. Thanks be to God. Will you please join me in singing the hymn, 40 Days and 40 Nights, hymn number 143, found in your worship bulletin online.
Should not we thy sorrow share, and from worldly joys abstain, fasting with unceasing prayer, strong with thee to suffer pain? Then if Satan on us press, Jesus, Savior, hear our call, victor. Shall we have peace divine, all your gladness all shall be, round us too shall angels shine, such as ministered to thee. Keep, O keep us, Saviour dear, ever constant by thy side, that with thee
Good morning, everyone. I'm Stephanie Paulsell, the interim minister of the Memorial Church, and it's my pleasure to welcome you to Sunday worship. Whether you have worshiped with us before or are joining us for the first time, we're so glad you're here. If you'd like to follow along with the liturgy and the hymns, you can find a bulletin on our website, www.memorialchurch.harvard.edu. We are so fortunate this morning to welcome to our virtual pulpit the Reverend Dr. Ray Hammond, class of 1971, MD class of 1975, and AM class of 1984. Reverend Hammond is the co-pastor and founder of Bethel AME Church in Boston and co-founder of the 10-Point Coalition, which has worked for years to address poverty, inequity, and violence in Boston. Reverend Hammond is an important public voice in the city of Boston and beyond. Ray, welcome. We look forward to the word you will share with us today. We're grateful to all who worked to make this hour of worship possible. Alana Sullivan, our associate minister, and Wes Kahn, our ministry fellow, lead us in worship. Our musicians, Edward Jones, David Von Baron, and the members of the Harvard University Choir, lift our prayers on the wings of their music. We remain grateful to First Plymouth Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, where David Von Baron records the prelude and postlude each week. We are grateful to the two members of our Student Advisory Board who read the lessons this morning. Lauren Church, class of 2021, reads the first, and Jeremel Della Rosa Lara, class of 2023, reads the second. And of course, this service would not be possible without the hard work of Jesus Romoyamas and Jeffrey Blackwell, who weave it together each week, and to our friends at WHRB who broadcast it. Now, last week, as many of you know, WHRB's website went down during the hour of our service. This happens to websites from time to time. We have found that even when the website is not working, it's still possible to listen on WHRB's app. So if you have an iPhone, you can download WHRB's app for free from the App Store. There's more information in our bulletin and on our website about our ongoing programs. Both the Sunday School for Children and the Faith and Life Forum for Adults meet each Sunday morning before worship. Our Instagram Live series on Practices of Hope continues this Thursday evening at 7 p.m. And Mem Cafe, our Wednesday morning fellowship group, meets from 9:30 to 10:15 a.m. Our monthly book group met this past week, and we will meet again in April. And we continue to reach out through our daily newsletter with music, meditations by students, clergy, faculty, and others, and with spiritual practices you can experiment with in your own lives. If you'd like to receive our daily newsletter, you can sign up to receive it on our website. As we arrive at the passing of the peace, let's remember this morning all who are ill and all who care for them. Let's remember those who are grieving, who are lonely, who are afraid. And as we continue to try to stop the spread of the virus among us, let's think about what we do want to spread. How might we keep love and hope and care and peace circulating and spreading among us and beyond us? May God's peace be with us all. Our offering this morning goes to support the work of the Memorial Church Grants Committee, which is working in earnest on grants to be made this spring. Through the work of the committee, we are invited to participate in supporting projects that provide clothing, food, and shelter to those who need them, that offer enrichment and care to children, that help to maintain the facilities of local shelters, and many other projects. There is a donate button on our homepage where you may leave your gift, or you can mail your gift to the Memorial Church. Let us, with gladness, present the offerings of our life and labor to God.
A reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 15, beginning at the first verse. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, Look towards heaven and count the stars if you are able to count them. Then he said, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. Here ends the lesson.
A reading from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4, beginning at the 16th verse. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. for this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. Here ends the lesson.
Let us pray now for our world, our country, and for one another. In a time of need and in an era of restlessness, God appeared to Abram and said, "Do not be afraid, I am your shield." God covenanted with Abram, showing him that there was more, that there was a next, and that hope was not lost. The promises of God are as bright as men and as many as the stars, and are never broken. O God, you have been our help in ages past. Be our hope and help for the years to come, and give us comfort as we remember the fear and shock we felt now a year ago, when the COVID-19 pandemic set us out into a Lenten wilderness that hasn't ever quite ended. Take into your loving care the 2.6 million people who have died worldwide. Make the compassion of your Spirit known to all who grieve, that their hearts and ours would know healing. Come close to all who continue to die from this virus. Give hope to healthcare workers who have borne the brunt of the pandemic, caring endlessly for neighbors and strangers. Be with frontline workers who face the virus head-on to protect our communities, feed our households, and keep our store shelves from emptying. Be with people who have lost jobs and housing, and all who have been made vulnerable. Strengthen parents, students, and teachers as they work and learn from home and begin to imagine what transitioning to the next phase of reopening might be. Pour out, O God, your grace upon us all in our loneliness and isolation. Hear our sighs as another milestone and life event is canceled or celebrated virtually, like Housing Day for first-year students, and birthdays, weddings, baptisms, among so many others. Be our peace as we remain separated from the comfort of hugs, shared meals, and friendly visits. And grant us repentance, Lord, for the sins of racism and economic inequality that have only been made more pronounced during this time. You, Lord, are our help and our hope. Faithful God, though we remain in a pandemic, the other components of life go on around and in us. Keep watch over us in our worrying and wandering, that we would not lose sight of your command to love and to thirst for righteousness. Like Abram, your people still move through the desert, searching for safety and a place to call home. Lead fleeing children and families by your constant presence in a fiery pillar by night and a protective cloud by day. Bring all refugees safely where they are going. Make all of our hearts, arms, and borders open. Give this nation, the president, and other leaders the duty and conviction to care for the children at our own borders, especially those who long to be reunited with their families. Merciful God, your Son, Jesus, knew the cares and concerns of his own parents, Mary and Joseph. Send your Spirit upon families whose concerns leave little room for joy. Pour out your guiding wisdom upon leaders implementing the child tax credit and who continue to legislate policies impacting children, that we would all strive to bear one another's burdens. Jesus, our Shepherd, you seek out all the lost who find themselves outside of the fold. Come near to those who we have failed to seek after in our own communities. Help us to follow in your way, to care for those who are hungry, to give shelter to those without a home, and bind up the wounded in body, mind, and spirit. Help this state of Massachusetts to ensure safe and just access to vaccines. Let us not forget our own neighbors, seen and unseen, in this time of great need. Nourish us that we may nourish one another, so that all would have their daily bread. Holy Spirit, by your breath and fire you kindled the church to be the hands and feet of Christ. Give the church the gift of obedience, that we would know no other way but yours, O God. Be this day with this church, the memorial church, as we continue to offer our worship virtually, love one another from a distance, and search for the next Pusey minister. And most importantly, continue to give us the gift of prayer. Almighty God, your promises are as true as the stars. Let your light shine upon all for whom we have forgotten to pray. Make us people of your promise, that we would no longer be moved by fear, but always be mindful of your resurrection, even in the dryness of the Lenten desert, and especially in the pandemic. And when your promises seem to fade, let our lips proclaim the words of your Son, the Christ, for in them we will find our way again, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
My thanks to the interim Pusey minister of the Memorial Church, Dr. Stephanie Paul Sell, for this invitation to preach, and to the staff of Mem Church for their support in translating that invitation into reality. You've heard the reading of Genesis 15, 1 through 7, which sets the table for our consideration of this sermon subject. It's not over, and God's not done. Just in case anyone thought that 2021 might be less challenging than 2020, let's just say that the results of the first few months of this year are not reassuring. Who knew that our former president would incite a first-in-history riot and insurrection at the Capitol that would cost lives, invade the Capitol building, injure dozens of police officers, destroy property, and disrupt the democratic process, all for the sake of a lie? Or that our political polarization would be as entrenched and toxic despite the clear consequences? Who knew that the rollout of the vaccine that offers so much hope would come with so much difficulty and confusion and inequity? It's clear that the battle for truth and justice and righteousness is not over. Far from it. It's true in America in 2021 as surely as it was true in the days of a man named Abram, later called Abraham, who finds himself in the middle of a difficult and perilous journey in response to the call of God. On that journey, as Genesis chapters 12 through 14 tell us, Abraham has to deal with a pandemic of problems. External problems, like famine and the fear of police or mob or political violence against himself and his family. And Abraham has to deal with internal problems, family disagreement, personal integrity challenges, and deep spiritual weakness. What Abraham didn't fully see was that these problems were a prelude to God doing more than Abraham could have asked or imagined. And despite the pandemic of problems around him, Abraham's journey was not over and God was not done. God was far from finished. Indeed, in many ways, God was just beginning to work in Abraham and through Abraham, but at a time of great crisis in his life. This scripture suggests at least four things that he, and perhaps we, facing our own pandemic of problems, could do and should do. The first is found in verses 2 and 3 and suggests that maybe we need to speak up. And Abram said, "Look, to me you have given no seed, and here a member of my family is to be my heir." As a scholar, Robert Alter, says about verse 2, up until this point, all of Abram's responses to God have been silent obedience. His first actual dialogue with God expresses doubt that God's promise can be realized. This first speech to God reveals a hitherto unglimpsed human dimension of Abram. Abraham has to speak up and be honest about his doubts and his despairs and his groans and his griefs. He and we must give voice to frustration and exhaustion, anxieties and fears, because honest conversation with God and others and self require it. But Abraham and we should also speak up for hopes and dreams, outlandish and impossible though they seem. It's a time to ask and work for the fulfillment, even in part, of promises made by God. That's the start of a real encounter with the living God, not the bellhop God that is here to satisfy my every wish, nor the abusive God who's waiting for me to get it wrong so I can be punished, but the living and loving God of truth and righteousness and justice and grace. So, speak up in times of prayer and meditation. Speak up in private conversations and even public proclamations. Amidst a pandemic of problems, speak up because you know it's not over and you really hope that God is not done. You do need to speak up, and verse 5 suggests you've got to be ready to step out. And God took Abraham outside and God said, maybe you have to be willing, and I, to get outside our comfort zones, outside the status quo, outside the norm, outside the usual and the expected, And the way we've always done it and the way we used to do it before the pandemic or some other crisis messed up everything. Maybe we've got to step outside of form and fashion, outside of everyday circumstances, outside of comfort and complacency, outside of the popular and the go along to get along. Maybe this is the time to speak up and be ready to step out. Now, I know that's easy to say, and it is hard to do. And it's hard because stepping out entails risks. The risks of entrusting yourself to a crazy God who tells you in advance, as recorded by the prophet Isaiah in the 55th chapter, "For as high as the heavens are over the earth, so my ways are high over your ways, and my devisings over your devisings." And the risks are not just on the divine side. They're equally salient on the human side, where stepping out and moving in new directions will cause some to fear you and others to discourage you, some to envy you and others to undermine you, some to misunderstand you and others to misinterpret your motives. But you must persevere and step out. The theologian Howard Thurman put it so beautifully: look well to the growing edge. All around us, worlds are dying and new worlds are being born. All around us, life is dying and life is being born. The fruit ripens on the tree. The roots are silently at work in the darkness of the earth against a time when there shall be new leaves, fresh blossoms, green fruit. Such is the growing edge. It is the extra breath from the exhausted lung, the one more thing to try when all else has failed, the upward reach of life when weariness closes in upon all endeavor. Look well to the growing edge. I'm convinced that to have a rich and real encounter with God, you've got to speak up and be ready to step out, because it's not over and God's not done. Thirdly, you want to look up, as verse 5 again declares. God says to Abraham, look up to the heaven. Someone asked a wise old shepherd how sheep manage to get lost and separate themselves from the flock, and the shepherd said, sheep just don't get lost, they nibble themselves lost. The sheep, in other words, never look up to see where they're going or how far they've wandered from the flock, and all they can see is the next good-tasting patch of grass, and the next, and then the next. You know, that grass is a good thing and essential to life, but they follow it so single-mindedly, it leads them ultimately in the direction of death. Maybe crisis is the time to look up and check out how far off track you and we might be, to look up and see the dangers ahead of us as we make choices rooted in pleasure instead of purpose, self-interest instead of integrity, power instead of principle, career instead of calling, and fear instead of faith. This may well be the time to stop looking down and start looking up, because you know what? You're better than that. You deserve more than you're settling for. Someone's lying to you about what you and we can't do and where we can't go and what we can't become, and that someone may be us. You can succeed. You can start that enterprise. You can finish that degree or training. You can raise healthy children and be an advocate for justice and be a great disciple and follower of Christ, but you've got to look up and get back on track. Look up and keep things in perspective and know that it's not over and God's not done. And finally, in verse 6, it declares that Abram trusted in the Lord. You know, I'm an avid scuba diver, and I love this story recorded by an author who writes, I had a conversation once with a former Navy diver about diving deep, really deep. He told me that he had been in situations so deep and dark that it was almost impossible to keep from becoming disoriented and confused. All I could think is, wow, that's an incredibly terrifying feeling, being underwater, unable to see your hands in front of your face, not knowing which way is up, panic engulfing you. And I couldn't help but interrupt my friend and say, what did you do? And the friend replied, feel the bubbles. when it's pitch black and you have no idea which way to go, you reach up with your hand and you feel the bubbles, because the bubbles always drift to the surface. When you can't trust your feelings or judgment, you can trust the bubbles to get you back to the top. I hear that story as a diver, and I say to myself, I wonder if we could trust a big God the way divers trust little bubbles. Can we trust that God's best work and our best lessons often begin in the dark and in disorientation? And that when it looks like every door is closed and the walls are caving in, I can trust God to make a way out of nowhere, to cut a window of opportunity out of a wall of obstacles. As the great New England preacher Phillips Brooks said, we never become truly spiritual by sitting down and wishing to become so. No, we must undertake something so great that we cannot accomplish it without the help of God. Can we trust that word found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4? And beginning in verse 16, it says this: for this reason, we never become discouraged. Even though our physical being is gradually decaying, yet our spiritual being is renewed day after day. For we fix our attention not on things that are seen, but on things that are unseen. What can be seen lasts only for a time, but what cannot be seen lasts forever. You think the last year was hard? I suspect we may have rougher days yet ahead. But this I know: it's not over. God's not done. And if I and we can speak up, step out, look up, and trust God, the best may be yet to come.
Let us sing together our closing hymn, In Christ There Is No East or West, hymn number 341, found at the end of your online worship bulletin.
Friends, a blessing as we continue our Lenten journey together. May God be for us, and we for one another, a defense in emergency, a harbor in shipwreck, a refuge on the journey, shade in the heat, light in the storm, a staff on the slippery slope, joy amid suffering, consolation in sadness, safety in adversity, caution in prosperity, that we may safely arrive where we are boldly going. Amen.
This has been Sunday Worship with the Memorial Church of Harvard University. Please join us again next week at 11 a.m. on WHRB 95.3 FM.